How lonely sets the city that once was full of people. How like a widow she has become, weeping bitterly in the night. Those are the opening verses to the book of Lamentations, which goes on for five chapters to grieve the loss of the city of Jerusalem. It was written shortly after the fall of Jerusalem in 587 BC, when the Babylonian army came to Jerusalem and assaulted the city and conquered the city, broke down the walls, burned the city, and carried the leading families off into captivity in Babylon. It was one of the greatest catastrophes that has ever happened to the Jewish people, and they have remembered it for thousands of years. No matter how much time has passed, the Jewish people refuse to forget about the fall of Babylon so many centuries ago. Jerusalem, the holy city, the dwelling place of God, the temple that was built by King Solomon four centuries earlier. Jerusalem, the center of the universe, the place of the holy temple, the joy of all creation, the inspiration of poets and dancers, the city surrounded by its walls and towers that just seem to say, peace, peace to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, where the festivals were held every year, and the priests in their beautiful robes led the procession through the streets, and the young girls put flowers in their hair, and they would sing arm in arm as they went on the procession. Beautiful, beloved Jerusalem, the joy of all the earth. But then, the Babylonian army came, the greatest army in the world at that time. They burned Jerusalem to the ground, and the festivals ended. The priests sat on the ground and groaned in their prayers, and the young girls sat inside and wept instead of being outside in the festivals. Even the roads to Jerusalem were dreary and mournful tracks in the dirt. And the gates to the town hung on their hinges crookedly. Well, why did the Jewish people keep this aching poem of grief in the Bible? Why was it kept as a holy scripture? Why couldn't they just let it go and say, let's forget about it and not keep bringing it up over and over? 2,500 years later and we're still reading about it. I think the reason that it's in the Bible is because it's so honest. It cuts to the heart because it expresses the pain of loss so vividly, so honestly. You know, if you're human, you're going to suffer loss. And this book, Lamentations, is an expression of that loss. There's nothing in there about, you'll get over it, or maybe God needed some more angels in heaven, or maybe this is part of God's purpose. Nothing like that. It's just raw, aching poetry about the loss of the beautiful city. The Bible knows about loss and about grieving. It's part of life. Even Jesus wept when he heard that his friend Lazarus had died. This book of Lamentations is like a poem to God, calling out to God, saying, look, see how we're suffering. See how we love Jerusalem. This reading has struck home to me this week because last week was the week my brother and my sisters and I had to make a decision about a nursing home for my mom. My mom is almost 100 years old, and she's been able to live in her own house with the help of my sister, who would bring her meals. But a little over a week ago, mom couldn't get out of the chair to go to the bathroom. And you know what that means? That means it's time for the nursing home. So it's been on my heart, because I just hate to think of the transition that she has to go through, and all that my mom has lost. She lived in her house for 48 years, and she was surrounded by the things she loved and the things that meant so much to her. Her sewing machine and her ironing board, my dad's army medals, my grandpa's stamp collection from the first part of the 20th century, the kitchen that she knew by touch, every bit of it, all the things that she knew and loved, and she's had to leave them behind. And they're still there waiting. Now she's in an institution where people go to die. And I hate to think of how much she has lost. I know my mom will put on a good face. She's stoic, and she'll do the best she can, but it's still a huge loss. Grief is what happens after loss. When we lose a loved one, when we lose a job, when we lose a friendship or a pet that we love, we grieve. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, about 40 years ago, wrote a book on death and dying, and after that she wrote another book on grief and grieving. And she said there's five stages in the grieving process. Disbelief and anger and bargaining and depression and acceptance. And now we know, of course, that nobody goes through the stages in the exact same sequence. And some people jump over one, or some people go back to get another one. Everyone grieves in their own way and in their own time. Grief has its own schedule and its own demands. You know, it used to be that we carved the names of our loved ones on tombstones so they would last a long time. I notice now a lot of people remember their loved ones by putting a decal on the windshield of their car or their truck, the back window, in loving memory of John Smith and the date of birth and the date of death. I don't think a decal lasts as long as a tombstone. And social media is changing the way we grieve these days. A friend of mine a few years ago lost her son at 17 years old to suicide. And she just put all of her grief on her Facebook page. Time after time she would put a post on there of what was happening to her. All the guilt that she felt about looking back on the days before he died. Why didn't I see this? And why didn't I do something? Why didn't I know? And going into his room and just feeling his presence there and breaking down. And the little memorial they made in their backyard, and how hard it was for her. And how she would remember him, and it would come back all over again. She just put all that on her Facebook page. And I was a little shocked. It seemed like it was a little bit too much. But you know, it was her way of getting it out. I thought at first it was TMI, too much information. But maybe that was the way that she needed to grieve. I tried to support her, like all of our other friends, by putting comments down underneath her posts. And so I think that was a way that she was able to get support from a wide community of people. And she did get it out. Another friend on Facebook, she graduated the same class with my son, lost a baby at birth, and the baby was stillborn. And she also put it on Facebook. She described the birth and the emergency baptism and the funeral and the burial and the complete utter loss she felt, the physical symptoms that she had, and again it was really raw and hard to read, but she was supported by her friends. I tried to support her too, and you know what she did was kind of healthy in the sense that she told people, she shared it. And that's one of the ways that we work through our grief, by sharing it. There are grief groups that can be really helpful. There's no one who can understand your grief like someone else who's gone through the same thing recently. And there are counselors and therapists who can help us work through our grief. The main thing is to be able to share and to work through the grief. We never completely get over a loss of a loved one, but we can work through it to a place of acceptance where we can go on with life. And the grief will keep coming back over and over, even when we don't expect it, but we still can move on. How lonely sits the city that once was full of people? How like a widow weeping bitterly in the night? The Jewish people eventually returned to Jerusalem and came back. They rebuilt the walls, they rebuilt the temple, but it was never the same. And they always looked back to that time when they were in the temple and when they were in the first Jerusalem, and they grieved that they didn't have that. And the Book of Lamentations is a way of honoring that loss. You know, we get hurt, we fall down, but with God's help, we get up and we go on. Amen.